Hello and welcome to this episode of the Macro Minutes podcast. I am your host, Shreeja Singh. It is globally acknowledged that women's empowerment is at the core of achieving development objectives. However, when it comes to balancing gender equality, economics and policy making has not kept its pace, unlike many other fields such as marketing, law and medicine. International Women's Day is therefore a good time to ask two critical questions about economics. Do we have enough women in it, and does it matter? Our guest of this episode of Macro Minutes is Dr. Shamika Ravi, a noted economist, senior fellow at Brookings Institution and a former member of the Prime Minister's Economic Advisory Council. Dr. Ravi will be discussing with us about her journey as a woman economist and the challenges that she has faced during her career, among other things. Hello, Dr. Shamika. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shreeja. Very good to be here with you.
Thank you. To start off, ma'am, what made you choose economics as a profession, and who were your early influences and role models?
Well, Shreeja, my introduction to economics was really in my 11th grade. And this is when I was studying at DPS, as do many, many other students who move from across India. I had come from Kerala. Delhi introduced me to, it offered me the opportunity to follow science with economics, which I thought was a very peculiar but a befitting combination. Most of us in the South did engineering or medicine as a default option, I think, particularly if you were academically inclined. But moving to Delhi introduced me to a series of, I think, very good teachers. Economics as a subject was very well introduced to 14, 15 year olds. And at some point, I must confess, I also took it up because it was a very easy subject. You know, to be honest, because if there are young girls out there who are going to listen to this, and maths and physics, I think naturally trained one's mind, in terms of critical thinking. And that gave me an opportunity to think of it as as an option. But frankly, it was only after completing high school that the options such as LSR and economics honors, looking at a lot of the students who were beginning to graduate then, and this was early 90s when markets were opening up, opportunities were opening up for people. So I must be honest, I did not enter economics keeping in mind a very clear idea of what career progression would be. I entered it because I enjoyed it early on. It was easy. I think it came naturally. But it was only after LSR where I must say we had some very good teachers who introduced us to, at that point, the economies of India, China. So there were contemporary issues which were discussed in the classroom. And that was very exciting. I think looking at a subject matter from contemporary value is something that truly excited me. And then, of course, Delhi School was, yet another place where economics as a profession sort of began emerging more clearly to me. Before that, most of us were doing undergraduate education, not knowing very well where it would take us. But after Delhi School, research as a career option became a little more clear because we were seeing wonderful professors around, very, very motivating, very inspiring people around to be part of lots of global debates. We saw several Nobel laureates come and discuss issues, present papers in the winter school. And then that propelled sort of interest manifold. But my serious understanding of economics truly came only through my PhD program when I went to New York University. And once I reached there and I did some of my early courses, and then the applications of it, the new methods, working with data, seeing trends, over time, it has only strengthened the pursuit because it has truly, I think I'm in love with the subject more today than I have ever been. So the interest and the work has only mutually fed each other. So I must say now, 20 years after, finishing my master's, I feel quite quite assured that I think I have made the right career move if I still enjoy it so much.
Speaking of your, career as a woman economist, do you think that the challenges that you have faced are somewhat different from what your male peers could have faced?
Oh, absolutely. There's no denying that at all. And I think the difference or the realization of the gender differences really strike you only when you become a mother, very drastically. Perhaps there are other kinds of realizations. I cannot speak for other women in the profession. But for me, it was very clear, as it was for a lot of my contemporaries, that being a young faculty member, so a career professional economist, managing motherhood, teaching and research responsibilities became, it can be quite challenging at an early stage. And I think that is where institutional support, having advisors and mentors who are understanding, who have similar value system, I would think, makes a huge difference. Unfortunately, the field is still quite lopsided when it, when you think of the gender composition. But I think the numbers have been gradually opening up. And I think the elders, particularly the women in the field, do sort of owe a responsibility to pave the way and make it a little easier for the next generation who want to enter the profession.
How much of your own life experiences do you put in your work? Say, for example, if you research and write on gender budgeting, healthcare, and other social sector issues, does that come from a place of a unique perspective?
Well, frankly, if I go back to the previous question, Srija, once you have kids, and very early on, the role or the requirements of motherhood are also 24/7. And in fact, I think the one profession which totally clashes with that demand on your time is also that of a researcher. Mm-hmm. So as a researcher also, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not like you can switch off your mind. So you are constantly thinking, something is constantly coming up. And if you're working in teams with collaborators and networks across the world, then that work truly just keeps chugging along. So the tensions, and of course, tension is a big word, but it's important to realize that the trade-offs for time become very real. Now, teaching is a little more structured because you know when the semester will start, you know what the expectations of time, and you can schedule it accordingly. But in research, it is a little bit more difficult because, research tends to be much more involved and, complex. But I must say, when I went back to teach into the classroom 1 month after having a baby, that is when it hit me that I don't think any of my male peers, and I must confess here, including my husband, who is a male peer in the profession, would have the same degree of day-to-day trade-offs and make the decisions as female faculty have to do. And this is where I want to reiterate the necessity for our institutions to then adjust and adapt and provide that equality in opportunity. Because if as a society we value children, if as a society we value family system, then it cannot be left to individual decisions. I think that is where within India, of course, we have seen a lot of changes happen in the last 25 years, where we are providing maternity benefits and time off. We are providing, some degree of childcare, etc. But I think, of course, the tensions aren't limited to economics either, or academia, in general. I think it also made me a lot more empathetic to the situation of all working women. And the need for the society and traditional communities and society at large to make it easier for women to do both, because we now want to do both. We want to raise kids and we want to do a profession full time. So I think those are the institutional adjustments which naturally feed into, a lot of the research motivations. They also feed into a lot of the recommendations at the policy level, at the institution level that we try and make. So there are theoretical reasons, there are empirical reasons, and then there are personal reasons. And I think as a woman in the field, quite often these do converge. I think the personal lessons and experiences, you know, as a female economist, it definitely plays a role, whether it is in terms of recommending such policies to make it easier for women to be in the workforce, or whether it is to enter workforce and rise through it, because there are definitely glass ceilings at multiple levels. And those of us who are paving the way, and of course, we are also standing on the shoulders of giants, so we must give credit where it's due. There have been elders and our seniors who have helped us and done a lot of hand-holding on the way. And as I mentioned, there were teachers right from school to college to the university and, you know, at the PhD level, etc. But we also owe it to the next generations. We owe it to all the younger people who are following us to make it a little bit easier for them by pushing for these reforms, for these changes at the workplace, in the community, within the household, to make it easier for women to bear these multiple tasks and to be able to do them effectively.
What does it mean for policy as a whole when women like Nirmala Sitharaman, Janet Yellen, and Geeta Gopinath, among others, hold some of the most influential posts in global economic policy making?
Well, these are excellent role models, Shrija. These are women who have risen to the top and continue to do very good professional work. I mean, we follow the research, we follow their writings. And it is important to realize that in an economy like India, which is peculiar in the fact that labor force participation of women has been falling with economic growth, we have never seen this happen elsewhere. So there is something clearly that is not fitting our expected ideas. There is something clearly broken. Why is it that women are dropping out of the labor force? Why are they not even looking for jobs? It is not unemployment, it is labor force participation, which means they are there in the population, but they are not looking for work or working, right? Mm-hmm. And that has a huge bearing when you think of the way society is structured. So when you see role models of the kinds you have just pointed out, and it goes beyond, it also goes into seeing leaders within industry. We've had exceptional female leaders leading the banking sector. We have a majority of female pilots in India compared to other global countries where aviation thrives. We have an increasing number of female leaders within politics. Now, on the whole, the numbers might remain small, but every woman who rises to the top is also sending a signal to the future generation that, look, I have done it, and so can you. It makes many possibilities open, I think, for the future generation. So the significance, the symbolism of seeing female leaders goes beyond, the simple case of meritorious candidates rising to the top. It does have a very deep symbolic value because the future generation, we want to improve, not just more women within corporate and policy within institutions, but we overall want to improve our labor force participation.
Ma'am, lastly, any word of advice for the girls who are looking to become future economists and policymakers?
I think it will be more difficult for you than it is for the boys. I think it's important to go in, by tightening your belt, to know that things are not going to come easy. And I think be prepared for those eventualities. But at the end, what really sustains any of us in the profession is the love for the subject itself, is the love for the work we do. And if you enjoy your research, and if the motivations for your research are very real, then you figure out ways. And of course, our job is to make it easier through recommending policies, again, at institution level, at policy level, at household level. So while we are recommending these policies and we do more research and try to get more insights which can help make things better for girls, It will be several decades, Shrija, before it truly becomes an equality in opportunity itself. So while that happens, it's important to note that with that drive and the motivation, you have to continue. You have to just stay at it. And of course, the reward is not just to the individual, but I think for the community as a whole. And it's always very, very inspiring to see girls rise to the top in any field, because we know the odds against which, you know, they have made it.
Absolutely. Well, it was delightful to hear about your journey and thoughts, Dr. Ravi. It was great to have you on the show. Thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you for having me, Shrija.
If you have any feedback and suggestions, you can write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. With that, it's a wrap on this podcast. For more news, views, and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.